Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
I'm sick of you coming in here asking for my keys. You trifling. You need your own car.
Baby, I'm just pulling
up. Here. I'm sick of you.
Yes, sir, why are you bugging?
First we started out real cool, taking me places I ain't never been. But now you're getting comfortable, ain't doing no things you did no more. You're slowly making me pay for things your money should be handling. And now you got to use my car, drive it all day and don't fill up the tank. And you have the audacity to even come and step to me, ask to hold some money from me. Do you get your check next week? You trifling,
good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, why haven't I found another? A baller,
when times get hard, need someone to help me out.
Instead of
a scrub like you who don't know what a man's about.
Can you pay my bills? Can you pay my telephone bills?
My car gave me back credit, buy me gifts with my own hands. Haven't paid the first bill, but you better head into the mall. Going on shopping sprees, perpetrating to your friends that you be falling. And then you use my cell phone, calling whoever that you think at home. And then when the bill come, all of a sudden you be acting dumb. Don't know when none of these calls come from. Your mama's number feel more than one. You're trifling,
good for nothing type of brother. Silly me, why haven't I found another? A baller,
when times get hard, need someone to help me out.
Instead of a scrub like you who don't know what a man's about.
Can you pay the bill?
Can you pay my telephone bill? Maybe we could chill. I don't think you do. So you and me are through.
shot callers, brawlers. We'll be dipping in the Benz with the spoilers. On the low from the Jake and the Taurus. Trying to get my hands on some grants like Horace. Yeah, living the raw deal. Three course meal, spaghetti, fettuccine and veal. But still, everything's real in the field. And what you can't have now, leave when you will. But don't knock me for trying to bury 7 zeros over in Rio de Janeiro. Ain't nobody's hero, but I wanna be heard. On your hot 9-7 every day, that's my word. Swimming in women with their own condominiums. 5 plus 5s who drive millenniums. It's all about the Benjamins, what? I get a 50-pound bag of oop for the mutts. 5 carrots on my hands with the cuts. And something
I want
European crawled out with the
being
clutch.
A bro nigga, drinking more liquor, driving a bro bigger. I'm with most sippers, watched by gold diggers. Rocking Bajor denims with gold zippers. Lost your touch, we kept ours. Popping crystals, freaking the 3/4 reptiles. Enormous cream, forest green. Benz G for my team. So while you sleep, I'm a scheme. You see through, so why nobody never gonna believe you. You should do what we do, stack chips like Hebrews. Don't let the melody intrigue you, cause I leave you. I'm only here for that green paper with
I'm strictly trying to cop those colossal size Picasso's. And have poppy flip coke outside Del Gato's. The Enja with cash flowing like Sosa. And the Latin chick transporting in a chocha. Stampeding over prop modes, never sober. Flexing Range Rovers, dealing weight by Minnesota. Avoiding arcs with camcorders and Chevy Novas. Stash in a building with this chick named Malona. From Daytona, when I was young I wanted the boner. But now I only hit chicks to win beauty pageants. Tricking and taking me skin at the Aspens. Gangsta mentality. Stay poppin' crystal. Pack a black pistol and an act coupe that's dark brown. Pinky ringing, gondolas with the man singing. Italian music down the river with your chick clinging. To my bizzos, player you mad for. Acting hard when you as pussy as RuPaul.
Come on. I wanna do, baby. Wanna be ballers, shot callers, baby. Brawlers. We'll be dipping in the bins with the spoilers. On the low from the J and the
blood clot. Wanna rumble with the B, huh? Throw a hex on the whole family. Dressed in all black like the Omen. Have your friends singing, this is for my homies. And you know me for making niggas so sick. Lost in my six with the Lex on the wrist. If it's murder, you know she wrote it. German Ruger for your ass, bitch, deep throated. Know you wanna feel the room, cause it's platinum coated. Take your pick, got a firearm, you should've told it. Suck a dick, all that bullshit you kick. Player hating from the sideline, get your own shit. Why you ride mine? I'm a good fella, kinda lady. Sassy ladies in Mercedes. Puffy, hold me down, baby. Only female in my crew. And I kick shit like a nigga do. Pull the trigger too, fuck you.
I been had skills, crystal still. High bills in Brazil. About a mill of ice grill. Make it hard to figure me. Liquor be kicking me in my asshole. Undercover, Johnny Brasco. That's my East Coast girl, the Bentley, the twirl. My West Coast shorty, push the chrome 740. Rock the red man and naughty. All with my kitty cat. Half a brick of gate. In the bra with her titties at. And I'm living that whole life we push weight. Fuck the state, 10 fuck holes in Penn State. Listen close to Francis, the praying mantis. Attack with the Mac, my left hand spit. Right hand grip on the whip for the smooth getaway. Player haters, get away, or my lead will spray. Squeeze off till I'm empty, don't tempt me. Only to hell I send thee, all about the Benjis. Why?
Welcome to Black Sister Talk, where you can grieve, a community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Happy Saturday, everyone. I hope y'all was over there Miss Rockin' and Mary J. Stumpin'. I'm trying to tell you. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Wanda, your therapist, favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. I'm so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thought, and lift someone up today, and I hope that you are able to learn something from this show that will help you in the future. Today's topic focuses on improving our relationship with money by leveraging our cash and investments, insurance, retirement funds, equity funds, and passive income. As Black women, we are usually the head of the household, providing for everyone emotionally and financially, and we need a way out. My word is know the rules of the game so you can play fair, because we are not informed about our dollar, and we end up being unfair to ourselves at the end. We are blind to things like we have a $1.5 trillion buying power. However, if we knew what that really meant and how to benefit from it, would you be willing to put in the work to do something different? I am speaking about removing the need to have instant gratification and learn how to make your money grow and low. I was so blessed to participate in a master class where it aligned so well with my understanding of how this information needs to be shared and widespread. Statistics have shown that by 2053, the Black dollar in the household will be at zero. How is that so when we have a $1.5 trillion buying power? I'll tell you how. Because we have a poor relationship with money. And even those who accumulate it fail to invest and duplicate it themselves. We must move from this craft in a bucket mentality and seek cooperativeness. Today, sit down with your children and your other family and your cousin's cousin and your grandma's granny and your aunties, uncles, and whoever. Grab the whole family. Get your notebook. Sit down. Be still. We have to unlearn some things. We have been taught a lot of things across generations that have continued to hinder us. I said what I said. If you don't believe me, let's check in with some experts who can educate us on reaching our financial goals. I have Matt Pilling and Frank Thompson, who is going to lead us in a discussion about taking ownership of our financial situations and making a plan. Matt is a financial advisor who is an independent contractor at Northwestern Mutual who focuses on helping one create a detailed financial plan which grows with them through every stage of life. He strives to meet every client where they are and helps them to create a financial plan that will ultimately achieve your financial goals. I am so blessed to have Matt here on the line with us today to encourage us and enlighten us about our cash and how to make it grow and flow. Matt, I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm so ready for you to share with us some financial literacy about your role and how this can benefit our listeners in leveraging their cash. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, LaWanda. Are you doing awesome, too?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I am so excited and pumped up about this discussion. I'm pretty sure when you remember first meeting me, I remember you saying, like, wow, I haven't met many people who are ready to do these kinds of things and aren't asking as many questions. And so I want you to take this opportunity to give us a welcome with some of the things that you enlightened me on and some things that would better situate us with leveraging our cash, making it grow and flow.
Absolutely. So I can take it away for a little bit. I have some talking points planned, but if this can be interactive, That would be amazing to me because I don't like talking about myself that much. I'll share a little bit of background about myself. I'll share some general things that I do, right? How do I help my clients? How do I put them in a better position? How do I add value? That's what I'm all about. That's why I started this 7 years ago, to help people, number one. I know a lot of people say that, but it's true, right? I think finances can cause a lot of stress in somebody's life. Maybe top three stressors in somebody's life, who knows? Money's not the most important thing in the world, right? To some people it is, but I do wanna touch on, you know, how do I really help people? And we'll get as detailed as you guys want today, but I will, and I'm not here, by the way, just to set the stage, if you will. I'm not here to give general blanket advice for everybody, because every single person I meet with, have met with over the last 7 years, I don't want to say is totally different with their finances, but different for sure. So I, as LaWanda said, so I'm an independent contractor. That's how Northwestern Mutual works. They're very exclusive, very good company. And I think they started in 1857. So they've been around a long time, hometown team in Milwaukee. But I really, just to intro myself, I mean, again, LaWanda, you did a really good job of that, so thank you. But I am in the business of helping people with their finances so they can create a plan. And I do, and I'll go back to this, but I do think it's really important that we plan for the risks in life, the things that can go wrong, before we plan on the things that can go right. So I'll expand on that in a little bit. But so 7 years ago, almost 7 years ago, in May it'll be 7 years, I started. So I was in school for finance at UW Oshkosh up north, and I was going to these career fairs, and I would always bypass Northwestern Mutual's little booth that they had because there was such a huge line. I was like, what is this hype about, right? I'm nervous, right? I'm 19, 20 years old at the time. I'm not comfortable in this business professional setting, if you will. So I was like, hey, I'm going to challenge myself to talk to like two people, and then I'm going to get the heck out of there. So there was one time, I think it was the spring of my last semester there, or two semesters before I graduated, and they didn't have a line. So I'm like, okay, this is a calling. I'm going to go over there. I hand them my resume. I talk to them for a little bit. Keep in mind, my resume consists of landscaping and construction, which I loved having those jobs when I did. But I was like, there's no way. I don't have any background on this. I don't even know what Northwest Mutual does. I know they do finance, but they were nice enough to somehow take me on board and become an intern. So I did that, and it was a great experience. Now, I did not have a lot of success, but I did help a few people, and I literally mean a few people. I think my clients at first were my sister, my sister's best friend, and then one of my buddies. So that's how I started out, but somehow I worked up the courage to actually go full-time, flip on my contract, if you will, and start running and gunning in my business. So when I started work, I mean, when I started this, I was 21, 22 years old. So as you guys listening can imagine, I was working with a lot of people in my, I would call my natural market, people around my age group. A lot of the people I was working with were in the trades, right, construction backgrounds, those kinds of things, and mainly young single individuals. Now, my market has expanded to different categories of people, if you will, but that's how I started, and I do want to tell a little story as well that really resonated with me, and LaWanda got me thinking of this when we were talking, I think, 2 weeks ago. So it was, I actually remember the day, September 7th of 2017. It was my second full year in this business, and I started working with, she's still a client, her name's Jen, very, very nice, kind, African-American woman, and she was nice enough. Now, after a couple meetings, I gained her trust, and she was nice enough to introduce me to about 12 people. Now, did I talk to all of those 12 people? Did everybody answer their phones? No. But I think a good amount did, about 8 of them. And So, and all of these, all of these people too, you know, same as Jen, African American women. Now, some of them had families, some of them were single. I started working with them. Now, the reason why I'm going down this road, this was a huge, huge turning point in my career, because I did not have a lot of success in the internship, as I already explained, in like with helping people, and in 2016. But in the end of 2017, I was started to work with more people like her, and more so an age group of late 30s to early 40s. That I don't know how old she was, right around there, but it was a turning point. And I say that because when I started to meet with these people, I would drive to their houses, they would come to my office, and I was really excited, because I'm like, okay, I'm used to working with very young people, right? And they may think they know a lot about this stuff, but do they? I don't know. And then these people that I was meeting with, they were very honest, and they were like, okay, Matt, we know that you know a lot of stuff about this financial planning, whatever you're going to tell us about, but keep it simple, okay? We did not grow up learning about this kind of stuff until, you know, we started to gain some knowledge when we were in the real world, and so on and so forth. So I realized, okay, not everybody has the background I do, right? Obviously. So that's my style. I stuck with to this day. Keep it simple. Not everybody knows. And from what I know so far of the thousands of meetings I've had in the last 7 years, I have to keep it simple for everybody, because we're starting from scratch a lot of times, and that is totally fine. I enjoy the process with them. So anyways, that really taught me to simplify everything and not be so complicated. We can get into the details later, but and think about it. I mean, I don't know about the listeners out there, but I didn't learn anything about personal finance when I was in high school. Not until college did I start learning about that, barely, even though I have a finance degree. That's more corporate finance. They didn't teach me about how to budget and what does insurance look like, what are the different types, how do they actually help, right? It's not just paying a premium. How do they actually help or can help? So, so that's a little bit about me. So that's all really I'll talk about myself. But to sum it up, I simply enjoy working with anyone who is a nice person and cares about their family. So I assure everybody listening, I am not the type of financial advisor. I don't know, there might be some of these out there, but I don't only work with people in certain careers or people that have a certain number of assets to invest. I don't only work with executives of companies or attorneys or business owners, right? Do I have some of those clients? Yes. But that's because I was introduced to them. That's how I get introduced to everybody, is through word of mouth, through my clients after I gain their trust. But anyway, so what is financial planning? A ton of things, right? Lots of things. So to go through some that I'm thinking of right now, I mean, helping people with budgeting, right? Helping people pay down debt, helping my clients figure out how much they need to save and where to save that money in order to hit certain goals in their life, right? I'm working with a lot of people right now that are, even though it might be a bad time, in the house market. They're buying their first home, so I'm helping them figure out, where do we need to save this? How much of a down payment do we need? I'm educating people on, and that's really my style too, is just education, right? I come from an education point of view. So I'm educating them on different types of accounts, how those accounts are taxed, how much risk are you taking when you invest in these different accounts? And as I really mentioned, you know, how much the big thing is, like, how much do we need to be saving in order to hit these goals that we have in life? So am I only talking about retirement? I don't even think I mentioned retirement yet. That is super important, but we'll get there someday. And yes, I do work with people that are actively in retirement. That's a different type of planning. But so it's all over the board. You kind of see where I'm going with this. And ultimately, you know, when we can save a ton of money, hit all these goals financially, retire someday at a great age of 60, 65, whatever, But then how do we spend our money down in the most efficient way possible? That's where I find a lot of wealth managers, because I meet people every week, every month that have financial advisors already. And when I ask them, what's your plan look like? They're like, well, I've gotten projections for my investment accounts. Okay, that's good. You need to know how much you're going to have when you hit retirement. But it doesn't stop there. If anything, it gets even more detailed when you hit retirement, because we need to know, where am I going to pull from? Is the market doing well, or is it doing bad like it is right now? We need options, right? So I help people create options for themselves, and that is going to allow them to get through retirement efficiently and hopefully not pay a ton of tax. So when I work with a new client, so this is really important to me. When I work with a new person, I lay out everything on the table right away, mainly about, I am an open book. If you have any questions about what I personally do with my own finances, with my wife, ask me, because I will tell you. I'd be willing to bet quite a few of my clients, I mean, I know for sure, they know exactly how much I make. They know how much I put away in these accounts. I don't say it to them while patting myself on the back and say, I'm such a great saver. I just know that if I'm recommending things to people, I better damn well be doing those myself. So that is that's always on my mind. And another thing I want to get off my chest is I do not recommend anything to my clients that I don't personally do myself. So that is, I do want to next, so this will be kind of the last piece, but I want to run through, like, what does it look like working with me? What are the steps that I take with people to get them to this ultimate financial security, which takes a while, right? It's a marathon. It's definitely not a sprint. But to go into that, so the process, how this works. By the way, meeting with me, my time, my energy I put in with my teammate, by the way, I failed to mention this, I have one full-time employee, Ryan. He's awesome. He's been working with me for a couple years. But when I first, let's say I get introduced, I get a favorable introduction to one of LaWanda's really good friends, right? And I call him or her up, and I ask them, hey, LaWanda, or tell them, LaWanda had good things to say about you. I want to share with you what I do. So in that first meeting that I have with this person, it's a get-to-know-each-other meeting. That's it. Figure out what their goals are, what their aspirations are. Where do they see themselves 3 years from now, 5, 10 years from now? What does retirement look like for them, right? I'll talk about those things even with people that are 25 years old, right? So the second step after that introduction meeting, I will, from the information I collect during that meeting about their finances and their goals, I'll put that on paper and create a plan for them. Now this plan, again, simple, right? Rough draft, simple, depending on how far away they are from retirement, but we keep it simple. And really it is a bunch of ideas that I'm going to bounce off of them and in the end actually make recommendations. So backing up, let me back up the truck. So the second step is to make that plan. All right, after we've made that plan, Ryan and I, we're going to have another meeting with that person to share that financial plan with them, share these ideas, educate them on saving, investing, budgeting, all those things. After that, then we'll follow up with them, right? We'll follow up on the few ideas. Now, do I go there with 17 ideas at once? No. Go there with a couple. I'll tell them the future ideas, but say, hey, these are first. Let's take baby steps. Again, it's a marathon, right? So I'll follow up on those ideas, and then if it's the right time for them, we'll put these ideas in action. After that, this is probably the most important thing of what I do. Every 6 months, I am going to check in with them. Does that mean every single person I work with? Right now, there's about 500 of them. 500 clients that I work with actively. Is everybody going to say, yes, Matt, let's have a full-blown conversation. Let's book an hour on the calendar every 6 months? No. But if there are big life changes that they're going through, financially, personally, professionally, we'll book a solid amount of time. So every 6 months, at least a check-in. the way that I do it, to keep it really simple for me, everything's simple for me. That's kind of my theme here. But half birthday and birthday. I get to wish them a happy birthday, and then maybe I'm the only one in their life that's wishing them a happy half birthday. I think that's kind of cool. So that is the process that I take everybody I work with through at first when I meet them. Next, I do want to go into, so there are, I mean, through Northwestern Mutual or through other companies that I can broker out to, there are a ton of different financial products, right? Disability insurance, life insurance, annuities, brokerage accounts, Roth IRAs, 401ks through their employer, simple IRAs. We can go on and on with that. But one thing that I've, at least in my first couple of years, and I'm still doing a lot of it, is what I mentioned when I first started talking. Hey, we need to plan for the risks first, if you haven't yet, before we start thinking about what can go right. What kind of rates of return can you get in your portfolio, right? So the risks, one of the big ones that I'm touching on almost every day is the importance of life insurance planning. Is that the only thing that should be a part of your plan? No, but it is a part of your financial plan. So I don't want to, you know, just talk to somebody about strictly life insurance, right? It's a part of their plan. So we get the whole picture. But we plan for the risk. So one of those being if somebody dies prematurely, right? Now it's guaranteed we're all going to die at some point. Hopefully it's when we're really old. But I'm sure a lot of people here have stories, maybe not so good stories, about family member, friend, coworker that passed away, call it prematurely, before expected. So the best time, and this was a hard line to cross at first, uncomfortable for me when I was 21 or 22 years old, but getting life insurance when you're young and healthy is very important, because that's how you qualify at most places. At most companies, you have to be pretty healthy to get a good rate on a life insurance policy. So the best time to do that is when you're young and healthy. We don't know what's going to happen to our health. We do know what's going to happen to our age in the future. So I was, as you can imagine, talking with a lot of young single people families. It was a little different. They knew the importance of it, but young single people, I don't need life insurance, right? If I pass away, nobody's going to be in a financial burden kind of thing. It's like, but yes, you might want it later in life. Do you want a family someday? Yes. Okay, so you'll probably appreciate this, even if we do it now, later down the road. Like I said, best time, young and healthy. Now, does that mean if you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s, I consider that still young, does that mean you can't get it? No, you can. I have a fair amount of people that I work with, that I love working with, like I said, that are in retirement of that age group, and they still qualify. So, big picture, I mean, you think about funerals, right? They're getting expensive. That life insurance protects against that, so we don't leave the family with a big cost. It helps clear any debt. Like in my position right now, if I passed away, I wouldn't want to leave my wife with the mortgage. I want her to pay that off in bulk, have some left over to go about life, hopefully in a happy manner after she grieves for a while. But the other thing, too, that a lot of my clients aren't thinking of, besides clearing debt and making sure the funeral could get paid for, is replacing income for a period of years, right? If you're in a relationship with somebody, if you have a family, you're used to your household income, and that could be multiple sources of income, multiple people. So we want to make sure, at least in my eyes, I want to make sure that my wife is still living the same lifestyle financially as if I was still there. So replacing income for a period of years, especially if you have young children, that's really, really important in my eyes. So that is kind of gives you the gist of what I do Like I said, I'm not here to give advice specifically to people in front of a bunch of other people. This is more of a personal one-on-one conversation down the road if we do talk at some point. But I'll take literally any questions you guys have. And I promise you, if it's something that I don't know, I will admit that. But I have a huge team downtown Milwaukee that of advisors that have been doing this triple, quadruple the time that I have. So I will get the answer if I don't have it. I'm not somebody that's going to try to make something up if I don't know it. But, yeah, let's make this interactive if we can. LaWanda, if you have questions, Frank, anybody, I'm willing to help as much as I can.
Oh, first of all, Matt, I just appreciate you giving us such a thorough, comprehensive understanding about what it is a financial advisor does, as well as some ways that you can assist them with their financial planning, because I know that money is a big topic, you know, and a lot of the times the struggle is making the money. The other part is, you know, paying your bills and then, you know, trying to have something where you can enjoy. And I guess for me, and the point that I want to make sure is conveyed across all boards is that with a pause in spending and consumerism, with a pause in that mindset, that way of thinking about our money, we can definitely reposition ourselves in a position to not live on debt or floating debt or floating anything, or even the word fixed income. You know, we have to learn more about our financial situation and ways to empower it, no matter where you are, whether that is a fixed income, whether that is minimum wage, whatever the case may be. It starts with making a plan. And so I like that you let everyone know, no matter what your financial makeup is, it's still worth, you know, having the opportunity to sit down with a financial advisor and learn how you change your situation, because that's also a very big part of what Matt does as well. He names a number of products. But I think you hit the nail right on the head by saying we need to prepare for the risk. We have to prepare for those rainy days before we can plan for a major portfolio, which says, hey, I need to hit the ground running and figure that out now. So I also like that you brought up the fact that budgeting and learning how to budget so that one day you can look at cash flow allowances and how you're making money flow. So I'm really excited about what you've said so far, Matt. And I said all of that to say, if one has gotten their budget in order, what would be their next step? What would be the thing you would advise them to do next when meeting you, once they've gotten their budget in order? Because I'm sure that's a part of the process during those four steps that you told us one should take when meeting you.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, budget is really important. Now, do I mean tracking your budget every week or every month? Yeah, at first you might have to, because there are a lot of variable expenses, right? Not everything is fixed, like your mortgage or your rent. So after that budget is created, and for some people there's not, right? But if there's something left over, let's say we figure out, okay, we make this amount, overestimating. I always like to overestimate on budgeting, because when you start saving, you want to go in comfortably, but something that you can commit to. So if there's something left over, right, we call that a surplus. There's a surplus monthly in your budget. We want to try to find a way. Now, first of all, the first step, financial planning 101, create an emergency fund. So emergency fund, in my eyes, is, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have heard this, but it's very true. Everybody's different, but I would say between 3 months and 6 months of your fixed expenses, So not the dining out or shopping or vacations or fun stuff that you might do monthly, I don't know, but the mortgages, the things you need to live, right, the necessities. So 3 months worth of those to 6 months creates a solid emergency fund that you simply just keep in a savings account or a checking account, right? Now, are those getting interest? Not really. I think mine is 0.1%. So that's what I mean. That's why we don't want to be overloading money. I do meet with people. It's a good problem to have, but that have too much money in a savings account. And it's like, it's not working for you. So whether you're that person or we don't have the emergency fund yet, we work on the savings first. Now, do I get paid to help you with that? No. I don't get paid for a lot of the stuff I do, but that's okay because it's still really, really important. So savings account comes first, emergency fund. After that emergency fund is established, then we will move on to education around other ways to make your money work for you, whether that's in the stock market in the form of investment accounts or whether that's other safe places to put money. I do talk a lot with my clients about after that emergency fund is established, how do we create forced saving habits? And there are some mm-hmm. accounts that are really good for this, right? Forced saving. You think about your savings account, or if you open an investment account on Fidelity or Robinhood or whatever you use, is that forced? No, because you can take the money out the next day, right? With your savings account or checking account, you can go to the ATM the next day and take out that $100 that you put in that first month that you started doing this planning. So we want to make sure there, even though it might suck at first, for lack of better terms, to have forced savings, it does really establish great savings habits. So emergency fund, then we move on to talking about shorter term investment accounts, midterm, long term retirement accounts, forced savings accounts. So I hope that answers that.
Oh, you did a great job, Matt. Thank you for that. And I appreciate, again, you just saying it in plain layman's terms, because a lot of the times when we're maybe already in the red or, you know, living check to check, we need to figure out, okay, I still have these bills to pay. I need to reprioritize my funds so that this situation can be temporary. So I like that you're speaking about, you know, looking at what the surplus is, but also, you know, focusing more on an elimination of debt, because we need to understand that debt rolls on interest rates. And although we need to save something, we may have a time where we're putting more into the debt right now with minimal to put in a savings. But anything with the consistency behind that, knowing that this is temporary, I need to stay disciplined in this practice because I don't want this situation to be longer than it needs to be. So absolutely eliminating debt and creating an emergency fund is so important. What I'm going to do now, Matt, is take some calls from other people. I'm going to open up the lines to everyone. If anyone has a question, I want you to just chime in and ask Matt. Otherwise, Ms. Chambers got lots of questions about financial literacy and wanting to learn more about empowering my money so that I'm not contributing to consumerism. So does anyone else have any questions?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Matt. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, so I heard everything you said, and I kind of was writing stuff down. So just to kind of backtrack on what you said, after establishing the healthy budget, we go to the savings account, the emergency account, and the forced savings account. So I understand the process. I guess my question is, I'm personally an educator trying to get back to our regular budget, you know, working through the pandemic, changing jobs. I feel like that's a lot of what people are doing now, starting businesses and everything. How do you have any suggestions or a formatting for starting a budget to get to the savings account as you're also trying to start, you know, a business? Like, how do you work your personal and your professional budget to, because I know there's business credit and I'm trying to get my personal credit because when they're looking your name up and everything. So, you know, for me personally during the pandemic, I suffered a lot and now I am trying to get back on track. And I just feel like there's so many parameters and so many things. Like, how do you, what is the beginning like? Do you, in your opinion, do I continue to work on making my personal account, my budget, where it needs to go before I add on to my business? Like, am I thinking too hard on everything? Like, how do you kind of manage so many different budgets for so many different incomes and things of that nature?
Yeah. No, that's a really good question. So I'll expand on that. And, yeah, after I do answer your question, you might realize, like, oh, man, maybe I am overcomplicating it, right? And that's very natural. I overcomplicate everything sometimes, so that's why I'm like, simplify, my motto.
Right.
So what I heard, what you want more information on is, like, okay, with all these things going on, right, the pandemic, and if people are starting a business and maybe they have some debt, they have line of credit, so how do we just hunker down and start that budget? Like, what's an easy way to do that? So LaWanda brought up a really good point is, you know, if there is debt, especially now, not every debt is bad debt, all right, as you probably know. But credit cards can be because they have really high interest rates. So that's one of the things we focus on first. And that goes back to the budget. Almost everything goes back to the budget when it comes to financial planning. So for higher payoff for your debt, what I would do is, first of all, and you could probably Google this. There's probably many different formats of budgets that you can just grab right online, right? I have one that I use that Northwestern Mutual came out with. It's just different categories, right? Your rent or mortgage, utilities, cable, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, all that stuff. So that's one thing I want to start with is, and I have, you know, I'm guilty of this too. I think we have Hulu, Amazon Prime, Paramount. There's like five other things. It's like we don't even realize that after a while that's going on the credit card. And yes, we pay it off, but eliminating things like that, right? So elimination, even though it might suck at first to eliminate some of the entertainment in your life, we have to do that. We have to make sacrifices to pay off that debt at a higher rate, especially if it's a high interest rate. Some credit cards are 20%, right, or more. So starting there with eliminating things that you don't truly need. Now, will you have to eliminate those forever? No, but once that debt's paid off, then you can go back to enjoying those things in life. So start with that after you've actually written down your fixed expenses, which you'll know, right, because they're the same every month. And then when you are writing down on your budget, like dining out, I'm going to pick that as an example, dining out for my wife and I, that's where I overestimate, because that's something that we really, really enjoy. We like to do, especially on weekends, is dine out at different restaurants. So if I think in my mind, okay, well, maybe we spend, I don't know, $300 a month on that, I'm going to put down $400 just because it probably is higher. We like to try to be nice to ourselves in our brain when we're talking about how much do I spend on these things that we don't really need. So overestimate on things like dining out or if you're a shopper, right? My wife loves to shop, so I have her overestimate on those things. So filling out the budget, right? Clearing debt by eliminating some of those things that you may not need. After you've tracked that budget for 2 months or 3 months, you'll get a better idea of, okay, what am I actually spending on these things? So once you have that down, and especially if debt is free and clear, the bad debts, then you'll start to figure out what do you have left over. All right, so when I work with my clients and I see that they have $500 left over a month, $200, doesn't matter the number, I'm not saying, hey, Mr. Mrs. Client, you have to save that $500 and you have to do it with me, right? You have to invest with me. No, I give half back, right, because things happen in life, emergencies, things like that. So we start small and grow from there. Now, where I'm getting with this is eventually budgeting becomes so much easier once you've actually written it down, tracked it for a few months. The way that I go about it myself now is, now that I'm to a point where, you know, the credit card debt is paid off, just the mortgage is the only debt really, I know that I know exactly how much I'm saving. And what I recommend is between 15 and 25% of your gross income needs to be put away in different accounts, savings account, well, not anymore, right? Once that's built up to emergency fund, different investment accounts, 20, 25% of income gets saved, call it the first of the month. After that, you should be proud of what you're putting away every single month, okay? In your mind, I'm proud of that 20%. You can spend what's left. As long as you're, I mean, studies show, no matter how much income you make, if you're, and I always recommend based on percentage to my clients how much of their income needs to be going away to be in a good spot. So once that percentage is going away, you're proud of what you're saving, you spend what's left, right, on bills and other things. So that's what I call like the simple way to budget, right? Rather than putting it on paper, save first, spend what's left.
Got it. Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, I hope that answered your question.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Great job, Matt. Great job. You actually answered the question that I was going to ask with the breakdowns of what that income breakdown should look like. Like, how much should you be saving? How much should you be contributing to your bills? How much should be for leisure? I know people say, this is my money, I should be able to do what I want to do with it. And my answer to anybody that's thinking like that right now in this moment, we have to unlearn some things and change the way we have a relationship with our money, because we want to enjoy things now, and we probably already enjoyed things earlier on in our life, and now we're at that stage in life where we're like, God, what was I thinking about? I wish somebody would have told me this. Oh, my God, I'm so behind. I need to save, like, stupid hard right now, which is the reality some of us are in. And everybody probably listening right now, too, is like, man, I'm late to the game no matter where you were, because you feel that sense of urgency. You feel that sense of accountability where it's like, man, I can do better with my spending. I can be doing so much better with my money, where I can make it grow and flow. I heard you say something earlier, Matt, with the guy, you know, somebody having too much money in a savings account. I mean, yes, the goal is to accumulate money, but anything that's just sitting and standing still is not flowing. There's no fluidity there. So that money is going to have the same amount of interest the bank don't give them. It's not going to do nothing. So I like that you're explaining to us as well that although we're saving some money, we might need to take bigger risks on how we're looking at this money growing and flowing. You know, the goal is to build generational wealth. And if you got a bunch of money in a savings account, how do you plan to replace income for periods of years ongoing? How does that happen? So y'all need to be listening up and taking heed to what it is that Matt is saying. Matt, I'm going to turn it back over to you for any other thoughts you want to share before we go into the top of the hour break in the next 5 minutes. And then we will close out and go into our segment on passive income and learning ways to make money grow and flow without doing much to it. So more and more and more and more great financial information. Matt, anything else you want to share with us?
I guess the last thing I'll put on a positive note is, I don't know, you guys might be able to tell that I do have a lot of passion around this topic. I can't say I always have because, you know, I didn't know anything about this stuff up until basically I was in the real world and, you know, I don't want to say thrown into this position, but convinced, hey, Matt, by my mentors, you can do this, right? You can help people. So I do like to, as LaWanda can probably tell you guys, I do like to have fun when I'm talking with my my clients and introducing myself. This can be a dry topic for some people and can be, you know, maybe embarrassing for some people to talk about, but open up, right? I'll open up with you. And yeah, I just like to, have fun and make it a fun topic and a simple topic, right? Topic today, simple.
I love it, Matt. Matt, can you please share with our listeners how they may get in contact with you, engage with your products, engage with social media, hear more from Matt? And let me let all my listeners know, this is not the last time you will be hearing from Matt. Matt will continue to drop these gems on us as long as you guys engage and let us know what it is you want to know more about so we can let Matt know and he can come on here as well as Frank and give us more financial literacy advice. So please do engage with the social media platform. Send us a DM, comment under the takeaways. You know, let us know that it is more that you want to know about this because we have to do something different and these conversations have to continue to happen in order for the behaviors to change. So let's become more comfortable with the uncomfortable when we're talking about our money so we can shift into a different situation. Matt, tell them where to find you at. How do they engage with you?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm a big phone caller kind of person, texter, email. So I'll give you guys my email and then my cell phone because I'm working mainly at home right now because I don't want to commute. But my cell phone first is 262-470-7032. And then my email is my first name, Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, .R, as in Robert. That's my middle name, Robert. So that's really important because I think there's another Matthew Pilling in Northwestern Mutual, and he got the one without the R. So Matthew dot
R. Get out.
Yeah, I looked it up. So it is, again, Matthew dot R dot Pilling, my last name. So that's P as in Peter, I-L-L-I-N-G, at N as in North, M as in Mutual, NM.com.
Awesome. Matt, can you give that phone number just one more time, please, a little bit slower? I want to make sure everybody gets that number. This is very important.
Yep. Yeah, so again, it's 262
467-7032. Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Matt. I hope everyone got that number, 267-7032. Matt, thank you so very much for coming on the show today to engage with us on some financial literacy information, as well as the role of a financial advisor and how beneficial this can be
on your road to your financial goals. I appreciate you so much. You can go ahead and stay tuned with the rest of the show so you can hear some of the other questions if they come up later on once Mr. Frank comes on.
I will absolutely stay on.
Hey, everybody. So, listen, everybody, that first half of the show has been amazing. I am so happy that Matt was able to share some of that great information with us on the importance of having a financial advisor, some budgeting tips, also some information about some financial products and a way to think about your money in an effort to purchase some of those products in the future. I have definitely engaged in some of that knowledge of my own, and I wanted to share that with you all. The goal for me is not to just be the person that's able to do these things. My goal is replication, duplication, and making sure there are more people that are like-minded and understand the things that I do so that we can grow and flow together. I love you guys. We're going to go into the top of the hour, and we will be back in just a bit.
Become a patron by going over to Patreon and adding Black Sister Talk. For my people that don't do social media, reach out to us at our email, blacksistertalk@gmail.com. Or join us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time by dialing 516-418-5674. We would love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so you can breathe, breaking the stigma one conversation at a time.
All right, y'all. What an amazing first half of the show. I'm going to open up the line for people before we switch into the next half of the show. And I want to just thank you, Matt, for just being so transparent and honest with us today. And I hope that you guys engage and interact with him. If you have any other questions, Matt is so helpful, so understanding, and definitely meet people where they are. I opened up the line. Does anyone have anything they want to ask Matt before we begin our discussion with Brother Frank Thompson? I have everybody's lines open. Does anyone have any question they want to ask Matt Tilling, our financial advisor?
Hey, yes, my name is Hotep. Question for Matt. Given that black people are often marginalized, would he suggest our creating our own digital currency, bartering system, negotiate maybe with African nations, United Nations for grants or something, because presently the American system isn't necessarily working for large groups of black and brown people, but especially black people. Thanks.
Yes. So can you repeat? So there's like a background noise right now. Can you repeat the main question? Sorry about that.
Well, the main question is, for a very long time, the American financial systems have not worked well for most black people. It works for some, but they are the rare exception. Should black people create our own digital currency, bartering system, possibly negotiate with China or Nigeria and work some deals out, or should we stick to the traditional investment vehicles, stocks, bonds, and things like that, which are often pretty fickle?
What a great question. I was unable to hear the response. Mac, were you able to respond? Hello? Can you hear me? Okay, no problem. Well, I don't know if Matt was able to respond because I really couldn't hear. But what I will say is that was such a phenomenal question, and I think it's one that really speaks to a lot of other things that need to be done as a people in order to liberate ourselves. And so having a form of currency is definitely a form of liberation, and I think that that speaks to that crab in a barrel mentality that I was speaking of earlier. We have to look at more cooperativeness. We have to look at the fact that we have a $1.5 trillion buying power. We have to look at the fact that we have power in our dollars, and that when we are all in different silos operating under different agendas, we really miss the mark on having currency, having something that we can come back and say, that belongs to us. That speaks so highly also to where I began this conversation, with changing your mindset on being a consumer, which also brings me to another part of the discussion. I don't want to keep running my mouth too much because I want Frank to have his time to talk to you guys, but let's get into the mindset of becoming an entrepreneur. I like that Stephanie said, I'm trying to make sure I'm managing my personal income as well as my business income, and I'm trying to learn how to make that money flow and grow and work for me, because we ultimately want to come out of the red. We want to be in the green, and once we get in the green, we want to take that surplus and invest it. We want to get some partnerships. We want to build money that grows and flows. We don't need money that's sitting still nowhere. So yes, brother Hotep, yes, we do need our own currency. Yes, we do need cryptocurrency, and yes, we do need blockchain understanding and also tech knowledge. But brother Frank, guess what? Let me just get it together, because we also have Frank, who's going to be chiming in during this half of the show, and he's going to lead us in a discussion on developing other forms of passive income. I mean, the brother is like, I ain't got no job, Tommy, but how your bills is paid all the time. He has been in direct sales for 27 years, a UWM school business graduate who has not been officially employed in over 27 years. You hear me? The brother is 48 and hasn't punched nobody's clock and has a portfolio to prove it. If you ask him how he did it, he'll tell you he's been networking. He has helped several women return from home, back home from work, assisted people in retiring early, assisted people with building generational wealth, assisted people with achieving their home ownership goals, and he would tell you before any one of those things that he is a family man and loves God. I'm so happy to hear more about passive income from you, Brother Frank. Are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Awesome, awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm excited.
Awesome, awesome. I wanted to open up both of you guys' line. I got Matt line open as well as Frank. Did either one of you guys want to respond to Brother Hotep's question?
Well, first of all, I want to say, Matt, you did an unbelievable job. And I hope everyone that's listening on this station today understands the importance of what Matt shared, because, you know, every day I turn the news on and I'm watching in the inner city, you know, a lot of horrific deaths, you know, not planned. And that's what happens. A lot of people aren't planning. And I'm seeing more GoFundMe come up than ever before. And, you know, a lot of times people think because of their age, they don't need to really plan. And what they say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So when I heard the things that you were going over, Matt, they're so important because, you know, a lot of these young people that 15, 17, 21, 25 that's passing away, no one would ever think to make plans for any of those people. So I think you did a great job. Thumbs up. I had no questions. I took a lot of notes, and looking forward to connecting with you. So I just want to say that.
I appreciate that, Frank. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Come on, look at these. We got me and Lee left on the show today. I'm so excited. So hook us up, Frank. Hook us up. Tell the people about these passive income opportunities that have just been sitting right under their noses. I like to look at this. My friend Leola, she always say poor. People overlooking opportunities repeatedly. People overlooking opportunities repeatedly. Don't be poor. Help us to not be poor. Help us to understand how we can stop overlooking opportunities repeatedly.
All right. Well, I like that acronym also. I think my story will help a lot of people understand the direction that I always try to point people in. So you got to remember, I was raised inner city Milwaukee. You know, I was always told by, you know, a loving mother and father, go get your college degree and, you know, get a good job and, you know, just be a good person, good citizen, a basketball coach. Everybody was saying get a degree. And once again, I love school. I think school is very important. So, you know, I'm just going to tell you my path, it just kind of took a turn. So once again, I'm not here to knock school or job. I'm just trying to share with you a direction. So I went to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, studied business, got out, and just like most people, I walked away with a high school zone, all right, and then I ended up getting a job that had nothing to do with what I went to school for. I ended up working at Quad Graphics, a printing company in Sussex, Wisconsin. But I was 21, got out, and I met a gentleman that just changed everything for me. He was in his late 50s. His name was John Joyce. He passed away, and you know, God bless his soul. But he woke me up. You know, he was in his mid to late 50s when I met him, and this was the summer of 1994. And, I mean, our lives wasn't adding up to the way that I was taught. You know, I was taught that if you didn't go to school that you were going to be a loser. And he says, you know what, Frank, here's the deal. A lot of people are trying to get to the right destination in the wrong vehicle. And at the time, it didn't register, but now that I'm older, I see it all the time. A lot of people want to get to the right destination, but they're choosing the wrong vehicle to get to that destination. It's like being in California and trying to go to Hawaii in a car, right? You need a jet to get that, to do that. So you got to be in the right vehicle to get to the right destination. So the first thing I realized is, you know, John Joyce, he dropped out in the ninth grade.
but he was a multimillionaire in the summer of 94. I was a college graduate, and I didn't have $500 in my bank account. So it wasn't adding up to me. You know, I'm thinking, like, okay, this guy didn't go to school. Why is he making a lot of money, and why am I poor? And he basically just said, well, Frank, you know, I really think you're an intelligent young man. Actually, I think you're very smart. I think you're smarter than me, but I'm probably smarter than you where it counts. And if you don't listen to me, you're going to probably fall down the path that 95% of the people fall down. He says, I'm nobody special. I just do what the wealthy do. Three things. And I'm telling you, and you know, for the last 25, 30 years, I tell people when they come to me with financial problems, when they come to me about any problem, it usually relates to these three things to solve it. And the first thing he told me, he said, Frank, wealthy people build networks. He says the biggest mistake people make in their lifetime is they never figure out how to build networks. Wealthy people, they don't get rich or they don't get wealthy alone, right? Most people try to get wealthy alone, right? And he says building networks is partnering up with people to achieve something bigger, right? So your network becomes your net worth. So that was rule number one, build a network. He says rich people, they don't sell their time for money, right? They look for profits because, you know, a profit is better than a wage. So that was the wealthy principle. So at 21 years old, he told me, let's start building networks. That was rule number one. Rule number two was leverage income. He says, Frank, people that you know, they haven't figured out how to get paid while they're asleep. You know, and if you think about everybody that you know, when they clock out, their money stops. All right? So, I mean, think about it. Your money stops. He said, Frank, I'm sitting here talking to you, and somewhere I'm getting paid because I've built networks that gives me leverage income. He says, the sad thing is most people will never experience that because they choose to sell their time for money. And then he says, number three was residual income, and that's the key to really retiring the right way. He says, Frank, I'm going to show you how to align yourself in industry that you just got to do the work one time and it'll pay you for a lifetime, all right? And I mean, for years, I talk to people and I just ask people, you know, do you get paid today for things you've done 5 years ago? And they're like, no. And then I tell people, I'm 48, I'll be 49 in August. And, you know, a 21-year-old kid did some things that still paid this 48-year-old man. And I said, how would you like to learn how to do that? Of course. That's been the key, you know. So I've learned those principles, and I've built different networks, actually like 10 to 12 different businesses that I've built over the past that continuously pay me, and that's how I'm not able to punch a clock because of those three principles. And once I learned those principles, that was June of 1994, he told me it'll take about a year to really gain control. He says, if you don't do these things, Frank, you'll find out somebody's going to have their thumb over your head for the rest of your life. He was right. By December, actually December 23rd, 1994, I walked out of Quad Graphics, clocked out. I was making three times more from the networks I was building than what they were paying me. And at the time, at 21, I knew for a fact I was able to leave there, but no one could have told me that would be the last job I would ever work. And here it is, 27 years later, I've worked a job. So those would be the three things that I would tell people. You have to understand network or networking, building networks. That's number one. Number two, leverage income, right, getting paid without physically being there. And number three, residual income. And if you think about every job you've ever had, the person who owns that company, they're operating on those principles, right? The network is the employee, right? That's what they do. They build the network. The second thing is leverage income. You know, my mentor was teaching me. He said, Frank, you know, how many times do the owner of your company show up? And I said, well, I've only seen him twice. I've seen him back last summer. He was walking through the facility, and then last Christmas or Thanksgiving, he was passing out turkeys. That was it. So he says, why is it a guy can show up two times and he's walking away with millions of dollars, and you're telling me you're having a hard time paying your bills? He understands something you don't, and that's what it was. He built the network, and I was selling my time for money. And then finally, residual income, finding industries, and there's industries out there, and that's what we educate people on, is those industries that they can put some effort in, the same effort that you put in when you do what you're doing now, but this effort will pay you for a lifetime. So that's my story. That's how I started, and that's what opened my eyes up to understanding a better way to make some income. One thing I also want to share with you is, he told me, he says, Frank, the first step to getting free is you have a freedom number. And, you know, I'm like, wow, I've been to high school, been to grade school, been to college, and not one class taught me this, and I'm saying this is probably the most important thing you can teach somebody, right? He says, I want you to go home. I want you to write down all your bills, and then I want you to bring me back the number of what you pay monthly. And when he said that, I was thinking, okay, so he says, I don't want the bills that can disappear in 2 months. Like, you know, I owe this guy $200 or, you know, I have this jewelry card. You know, I want the ongoing bills. He says, you got residual bills, right? They come every month and you can't stop them. He says, I'm going to combat that with residual income. He says, you can't pay residual bills with linear income. So basically, residual bills is things like rent or mortgage, right? Eventually, one day you'll pay off your mortgage, but usually that's 30 years down the line for most people. So rent or mortgage, car payment, right? Cell phone bills, internet, you know, so add up all the things that you pay that you can't stop. And that number is your debt number, right? That's the number that makes you get up and go somewhere you don't want to be, right? Because I was working 10 hours a day, and he said, Frank, my freedom number was $1,500. He says, this is it. He says, you get up, go 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours a day, somewhere you hate, around people you don't like. You leave the people you love behind, and then you do that to pay $1,500. He says, well, your freedom number is 1501. He says, let me ask you a question. If you were getting paid $1,501, that means your bills will be paid. If your bills were paid every month, would you get up and go to that place? I was like, no way. He said, so that means that the $1,500 got you enslaved, right? That's what's making you do what you don't want to do. You just got to figure out how to get $1,500 or more passive residual income, and you're free. And that's what I did. By winter of 94, that $1,500, I was making over $5,000 a month in the network that I was working with him and I built. And that was enough to pay my bills, save money, invest, and do a lot more. So,
say it again for the ones in the back.
I'll stop right there so you can ask me any more questions. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, Frank, say that again one more time for the ones in the back that didn't hear you. My God.
As far as the freedom number?
Absolutely.
Or being free.
$1,500 that got him $5,000 a month. Frank, enlighten us.
Oh, yeah. So basically, the beautiful thing about building a network is that you were in control. You can grow when you want, right? So a lot of times when you're in corporate America, there's a lot of things that hold you back. You know, it could be being a female. It could be being a minority. It could be just someone see that you can replace them. It could be a lot of things. So you're pretty much at everyone's mercy. You know, I've seen a guy who told me that he bought a new car. And once he bought that new car, the workers and his bosses and managers all start acting different. They gave him less hours and everything, you know. But the beautiful thing about building a network is there's no restrictions. You're your only restriction. So basically, when I say you're your only restriction, you can go talk to people anywhere. You can help anybody at any time, and you're free to roam planet Earth to do that. So that's why it was easy for me to create a network and then build my income and to grow to over $5,000 a month. I was at 21 years old, and that was over 27 years ago. But what I've learned, and the reason why you invited me on today, like there's so much, it would probably take me 5 years of being on your show to teach you all the things and all the directions I've been in. But today you wanted me to share the first step to creating freedom, right? And the first thing that we realized is that most people, they don't have their money working for them. They work for their money, right? And there's so many things that, and this was a perfect show because there's so many things that Matt can do for you guys. Like Matt is such an important ingredient to what I'm sharing with you. And the things that he's telling you guys are a lot of things that I put in place to create my freedom. You know, so the first step I would do is call Matt. That would be the first step. The second step I'll do is I'll start putting my money where my money starts making money for me. And we have different things. And the first thing we found is we have a lot of investments that yield your investment and return higher than what you would do at the bank. So, like, let me give you an example. The national average for interest in the bank is 0.06%. So if you put $10,000 in the bank and you leave it there for a year, and you come back and get it a year later, you'll have $10,006. So the bank will take your money they'll keep your $10,000. It'll take you a year to let them have your money, and then they'll come and you get $6 for letting them keep your $10,000 for the year. Now, there's one investment that LaWanda is in with me, and that same $10,000 in the investment that we're doing in 1 year would net you $30,000. So I don't know about you, but if I had $10,000 to put somewhere, I'll put it where it can yield me $30,000, not where it'll yield me $6. And here's one of the things I want to share with you. The exact things that the bank does with your money is what we're doing for you versus the bank. The bank takes your money. Do you know the average bank every 90 days can take $100 of your money and turn it into over $1 million, right? The bank has forex traders. They have different investments. So that's why they're giving you coffee cups. They're giving you glasses, sunglasses, free coffee, all those things so you can bring your money there because they're leveraging your money and they're borrowing your money out. They're investing your money. They're getting interest on your money, and then they're throwing you crumbs. So we have different investments. You know, my first thing that I would tell you is we have an investment that could 3X your money anywhere from 0.5% to 3% daily. So that means this investment will pay you more per day than the bank is willing to pay you per year. And you can start this investment with as low as $100. Another thing I learned is you have to pay yourself first. I've watched people, like, sometimes I would rather sit in the dark and invest to get ahead than to just go broke. Never go completely broke. Always keep something in your pocket. Always keep something for you and your family. I tell my daughter that all the time. Yes, I think she got me, so that's probably her. That's her backup plan. But I tell her all the time, never spend everything you got. It's okay to tell your debtors that, hey, I don't have it, right? And now with COVID, a lot of people are getting away with a lot. But I'm not telling you don't pay your bills. But what I am telling you is you have to start putting your money and investing in the things that will move you and your family forward. So we have an investment that LaWanda and I, you know, we're in together, and this is why she wanted me to share this with you guys. You can start this investment with as little as $100, right? As a matter of fact, I did the absolute worst just to show people how great this investment is because you can compound your profits. That's another thing that we teach. Like, once you get a profit off this investment, you can take it out, you can do whatever you want, pay bills. But the smartest thing will be to compound it so that the compound interest could make you even more than your original investment. So I took $100 from this investment, and within 6 months, I compounded all the profits, and I did some other things, and that $100 grew to over $15,000. So those are the things that we teach. Those are the things, and that's just the first direction we'll put you in. The second direction is we'll show you how to take the money from that investment because it's a high-yield investment, and we'll show you how to get into a private equity fund where, I mean, you can go downtown Milwaukee, you can meet the guys, you get a contract with this, so and it holds up in court. So they're so sure, you know, there's no sure thing in investing, right? So I don't want you guys to think that, you know, every day is a sunshine day and somebody tell you that, you know, they're going to be lying to you. You have your ups and downs. But what they've learned is how to back the investment with more investments and how to protect the investments. And then they have a lot of things covering those investments. And then it's, you're secured by having a contract that stands up in the court of law. So these are some of the things that we show people to get ahead in life. And, you know, I love being able to sit down and talk to people because here's one thing. When you've accomplished something, it's easy for you to share with people who haven't accomplished, right? So it's like the tour agent and the tour guide, right? I want to follow the tour guide. The tour agent would just give you a book and say, hey, go here, go there. The tour guide will show up with a machete and chop things in front of you and say, hey, follow me. I've done this 5,000 times, right? So when people talk to me and they're complaining and they're having a hard time in life, I'm looking at them like, well, I got the recipe. If you want to, you know, go ahead and finish talking. When you're done, I'll show you how to just get rid of that. And for 9 out of 10 people that I meet, their problem is, like I told you earlier, they're in the wrong vehicle trying to get to their right destination. And whatever right is for you, for me, it's not money, it's time. You know, I don't brag about money, I brag about time, right? Because you can make money doing a lot of things. I got a friend who he's making over $60,000 a month in real estate. So if I were to sit down and talk to him about money, he'll wolf back at me. But I said, you know what? The way I do things, I get all the time to enjoy my money. And, you know, my friend broke down and started crying because he had a lot of things going on that I didn't know. you know, he says, me and my wife is talking about getting a divorce because here's the deal. To make that $60,000 a month, he was working 14, 15-hour days. So that ruined his relationship with his wife. He missed his son's basketball games. He missed his daughter's volleyball games. Matter of fact, he couldn't even stay healthy. He was eating wrong because he's always eating on the run. He had a heart attack out of all places in the drive-thru line at McDonald's. So sometimes, you know, I told him, I said, well, to me, it's time. You know, being able to go at my daughter's school, and one of the teachers, she said, hey, can you be my mentor? And I asked her why. She said, you were the Easter Bunny. You were Santa Claus, right? Been on all the field trips. I want your time, right? And she said, you were the funniest Santa Claus. One of the little kids says, hey, I didn't know Santa was black. I said, hey, today he is. So go sit down, right? So it's just fun things like that. I've watched kids cry for their parents, and I was like, man, I wish I could just record this and send it to their parents and see how time is everything. We don't get that back. So I fight for freedom, time, so that you can do what you want. If, and, you know, money's a motivator for you, cool, but I swear to you, when you're free, you want to stay free. So I do things to stay free more than make money.
Man, Frank, what a mouthful. What a mouthful. I mean, that's really what the mindset has been, working hard for the money, not the money working hard for you. So we really need to reposition our mindset around how we have a relationship with money and really get out of this consumeristic mindset. Even getting in the entrepreneur mindset again, we need to make this money grow and flow. So I'm really, really excited about this conversation and even more excited to share the goodness that I have been able to reap the benefits from by investing in some of these products that Frank has been sharing with me. Just like Matt said earlier, as well as Frank, we are people who have experienced these things, and once you've been through it, it's so easy to talk about it with others because you've lived it. I have nothing to gain from anyone participating in any of these products. This is really a game for you in the sense that you're learning something new about your money you didn't know before. So, Frank, I'm going to open up the lines and see if anybody has any questions to ask you before you talk to us a little bit more about the ELOT accounts, which we will be having a day, a financial literacy day next Friday over at Life Wellness and Counseling Services. That is next Friday, February 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. We will be talking more about the ELOT financial products as well as the equity fund contract, which you can buy into. We really, really need to learn how to invest, and most importantly, invest in ourselves. Every day you take a risk going to these jobs. You heard this man talking about the gentleman dying in the parking lot over here at McDonald's. How many people have known somebody who has died while they were on the clock for their job? We become a slave to these punching in and punching out, you know. And then these people will give you a 96-cent raise or a raise that just does not meet the caliber of the work you do or the passion that you put into it, let alone the sacrifices that you make to be a part of somebody's network. My goal here is to make your network work for you, and you, in turn, reap the benefits from it. So does anybody have any questions they want to ask Frank? Your lines are open. The cat got y'all tongue. Are y'all shocked about this? Is this information believable? Any comment, anything you're feeling? How you feeling about this money?
Well, let me share this about you while anyone is thinking about the question. This show is so powerful because it links people with the answer to people who are looking for the answers. And you do it with a good heart. and that's why you're being blessed. And if you continuously do things like this, you're gonna be overflowed with blessings, because, you know, that's what changed my life. You know, being at the right place at the right time. And I believe that, you know, your destiny is set. You know, at 21 years old, I look at a lot of 21-year-old kids now, and they're closed-minded. You know, and I thank God that he put me in a position during that time that I was open-minded to listen to a guy. And I only listened to that guy, that I was at the right place at the right time, and he started pouring into me because he saw more into me than what I saw into me. So those were the things that changed my life. And I like this show because it's similar to being at the right place at the right time. And I think if you keep this going, you're pretty much just helping people all the way around. And usually my segment usually don't leave a lot of questions. Most people, after they sit down with me, they're like, how can I start, or where do I start, or can we get together and go over things? So I'm not surprised that people don't have questions, because it's more of an educational session to let you know why the 3% are rich and the 97% are always pulling up the rear trying to figure it out. And it's just the little things. They know the principles of where to put their money. They know the laws. They know they're set up right, they're positioned right, and most importantly, they're in the right vehicle to get to the destination that everybody's trying to go.
You know what, Frank, I definitely appreciate you for saying that, because it's genuinely who I am, and me just showing up authentically and raw every week to show you guys that somebody does care. You know, as much crime and as much hurt and pain that's in this world, there is still someone out here who is hopeful, who does this work every day with the pure intentions to really lift somebody up and give them an opportunity to do something that they did not know or were unaware of. Because, again, my biggest thing is we have to unlearn so many things. And if we're going to unlearn, the first thing I have to do is be myself, so you can trust me and believe what it is I am expressing to you. I don't come here to be from falsehood or to take anything. We are already some people that have been hurt and broken in many, many ways, and we can all sit here and we can talk about that all night, you know, until we blew in the face. But it's my pure, genuine care for people and seeing how we have been hurt, seeing this generation after generation of just nobody knowing. So I'm not even here to blame and throw shame to none of it. I'm just here to say this is the problem. People, whether it's come from a younger generation, older generation, let's sit down, respect one another, and listen and learn from each other so we can grow in a positive direction together. We got to get our money in control. We got to start working harder than we need to, and we need to learn how to invest so we can help reach back. Come on, Sankofa, reach back and leave a legacy. Frank, we do got a question over here on the line I want to go to. I think it's Brother Hotep. Hey, Brother Hotep, how you doing?
Hey there, how are you? This is Hotep calling. How you doing?
Yes.
Hey, I'm good.
How you doing?
Got a lot of snow on our East Coast, but hopefully it'll be gone soon. I think that politically, the Black American population, just like most Black people in all nations around the world, tends to fall for the political traps that are set by two-party systems. Not the voter that's the problem, but the leadership of the parties. The Democratic Party tends to offer a few crumbs to Black voters, but it's insufficient to make a substantial change for all our children and grandchildren. The Republican Party makes it clear that they are not for Black people, and the only ones that I find in my circle that support them are people that are very moral majority, anti-abortion, the nuclear family, but we're all being played like a fiddle. Tokenism is what rules. We may get a Supreme Court justice who typically won't support us. We may get a Black president who you know, is handsome and wears a coat and clothing, but doesn't pass substantial legislation, doesn't do any executive orders that really help us. So it's each person for him or herself and his or her family, because even our nonprofit setups tend to have selfish capitalist Anglo people in the background running the LLCs and the LLPs. So hopefully you continue to do the show, and you know, we wake up after a few hundred years of the same types of games back and forth. We were down south, then we went up north for peace and justice. We were on the plantation, and well, some of us, some were Native Indians, of course, on the plantation, and then supposedly let loose by Lincoln, but without reparations, and still haven't gotten reparations, while some other groups have. Yet our underemployment, unemployment, and all that are factored into the GDP, gross domestic product. So no matter what happens, more cops, it factors into GDP. More people that need assistance, that's factored into GDP. So we're kind of stuck for now until we get over this and reach back, like Sankofa means, reach back beyond 400 years all the way to Africa and know our true history and legacy, and then take things forward. I appreciate your taking my call. I hope I didn't take too much time.
Oh no. I want to respond to that. And you're right. And, you know, there's a lot of repair that needs to be done. I think we're going in the right direction. There's a lot that has been it has been unattended and it's overlooked, so I do agree. But what I've also learned is there's a way to make lemonade from lemons. We'll start there. And I think the first answer for black people would be try to become as self-sufficient as you can. Because if you're in the system and the system is controlling you, then you have no power. And I get it. I understand there's a lot of things that do need to change, and there's a lot of moving forward. But here's what I say. There's ways, like if you look at the early 1900s, you know, 97% of the people were entrepreneurs, 3% of the people were working. And then we went through the industrial age, we went through all that stuff. And then, you know, come to the turn of the century, 97% of the people were working. I think, like you said, having the mind of, you know, growing your own food, creating your own income, you know, teaching, educating others, that's where it starts. And, but like you said, there are so many things that need to be addressed. And I appreciate you bringing those topics up because, you know, the more we bring them up and the more we're not scared to talk about them, the more they'll be addressed, right? Because, you know, we see things now being addressed that for hundreds of years have never been addressed. So I think sometimes talking about pain brings gain. And if you can understand another person's pain, that's the start of the solution. So, yeah, I appreciate you. And that's why you didn't take up no time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for that feedback. Can I say that I agree and concur wholeheartedly that individuals themselves can operate and must operate logically solo. The challenge is that the community doesn't gain power, political power, financial power. So those of us that know how to navigate and work for self and negotiate can, you know, succeed to some degree, even though even in that structure there's racism systemically that limits some of our grants and ventures. But the larger community doesn't rise, so we end up being the statistical outlier, which, you know, if we're thinking insularly, it's a good thing. But our people themselves don't seem to be rising and haven't really risen for a while, and Martin Luther King seemed like a wonderful human being, but miscalculated when he put us in the house with the wolves, and many of our businesses closed during that time period. So, each of us will succeed. Yeah.
You know what, Brother Hotep, we're really not trying to have a part two of this discussion quite yet because we only got 10 minutes left, but this just lets me know that this is a conversation that we need to continue to have. And Black People Talk is going to continue to have these discussions about financial literacy and empowering our dollars because as I stated on this show earlier, $1.5 trillion buying power. We got the power. We just need to change the way we're looking at this money and understand that money is the vehicle that will get us to these political situations. And even a situation where we say we don't even want to do a political situation, you know, and we need to step over here and do this over here for us because our people need healing. This ain't got nothing to do with no racism. This just has to do with the fact that it's a bunch of people that need healing and who are going through an identity crisis. And how can you even work on your identity crisis issues when the resources are very limited? So we got to do some healing with this money and heal our financial woes right now because people's basic needs are not being met. We all know about the hierarchy of needs from Maslow, and we understand that when the basic needs are not being met, folks are always in survival mode and have not even been able to tap into what it is to live a life. So we have to look at what are the external factors that are really barriers right now for our people and start dealing with that and start educating Black women about relationship smarts and helping them to understand, baby, this is a spirit that has been broken. Let's work on this spirit building. You know, it's a comprehensive issue is what I'm saying. And Black Sisters Talk going to hit each and every pillar of it as we continue the journey through this year and the next year because this is what we have to do. We got to be here for each other and show that I'm here to fully support you each and every week, whether we got 5 people on the line, 25, or whatever the number is. But, hey, that sister is going to be consistent with y'all. Come show us some love because she's showing you love every week. So I appreciate all you brothers and all you sisters and everybody who has participated and contributed to Black Sisters Talk because we have to have these conversations, Black, white, and indifferent, and we have to be comfortable with these uncomfortable situations because it's not right. And there's a lot of history there that proves that. But we only got less than 10 minutes left, and I don't want to get on my soapbox. I'm going to come down off my soapbox. I want to thank Matt and Frank for coming on the show today to enlighten us about the financial advisement, financial literacy, steps to getting started, steps to getting back in the game, building up your hope and your confidence around your money. Next week on Friday, February 4th from 6 to 8 p.m., Brother Frank will be over at the office at Life Wellness and Counseling Services. We will be helping people get signed up with their ELOT account, as well as giving you more information about ELOT, as well as the equity fund building on the compound interest. You can also reach out to Matt. You have been given his information. I want you guys to engage and interact with both of these gentlemen. This is some great information. It could be the start of your journey financially, being happy, being positive, being relieved, not looking at money as a stressor. Please don't let this information fall on deaf ears. Go ahead and hit the replay. Go ahead and share it. Go ahead and post it on your pages. Go ahead and talk to your children about it. We need to change. Lastly, before I let you guys go today, I also want to remind you that tomorrow is Candace's birthday celebration. We will be celebrating Candace's 40th birthday, and we're going to do it in style with much class and lots of fun. You guys know Candace Mercedes, our spiritual intuitive, our co-host for our Central Saturday. Let's get into it, girls. Let's get into it, guys. Let's show Candace some love tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. for birthday session. Don't forget to engage with the social media platform because there is where you will find some of the fun facts about we cap it tomorrow doing some of our games. So don't forget to check out that information. You want to win some of these prizes. We got a lot of cool things coming up this year. Book clubs, retreats, painting sips, sober sips. I mean, we vision board parties. We got a lot of stuff coming on over here at Black Sisters Talk. So you're going to want to get some of those free tickets because you don't want to pay for it if you can get it for free. Go and engage with the social media platforms. Hit the like, hit the share, subscribe, follow, engage with the Facebook page, all of that. And lastly, And lastly, continue to be encouraged and empowered as you guys step forth and engage with budgeting. Make that one of your goals this week. If we don't do nothing else, let's just sit down with our budget and look at our money and see how we can take some takeaways that Matt and Frank have shared with us today so that you guys can be more empowered with the funds. This is Black Sisters. I love you guys. I look forward to talking with you guys next Saturday and tomorrow. And tomorrow, next Saturday, we're going to be talking about children's mental health awareness. Are you raising a late learner? So please make sure to engage with the social media platform. Get that updated information. I love you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your week. Thank you.
Hello, welcome to the Bad Boy World Champion PGA Tour. I'm your host for the day, Mace Gumble. With this last birdie right here, Puffy Woods, win the champion from the three-time champion, Fuzzy Bad Feet. Silence, audience. I think his pants are a little too tight, and he really has a wedgie.
He's a stubborn.
Tell me who flop, who pop the blue drop, who jewels got pops, who mostly go she down to the blue drop. The same old pimp, Mace, you know ain't nothing changed but my limp. Can't stop till I see my name on the blimp. Guarantee me and shells full of love or luck. You don't believe in Harlem World, nigga, double up. We don't play around, it's a bet, lay it down. Niggas didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem nigga with the goldie sound. Can't no TV, niggas hold me down. Cuda, school me to the game, now I know my duty. Stay humble, stay low, blow like Woody. True pimp, niggas spend no dough on the booty. When you yell, there go Mace, there go your cutie.
See, I've just won the Bad Boy Golf Tournament. How do you feel about winning the PGA?
Man, well, I was having some trouble on the 17th hole. But my man, B.I. from up above, came down, talked to me, told me to cool out. And I did it.
I
did it for B.I.
I guess this means more money, more problems for you.
Yeah, I guess so. More money, more problems. That's the way it is.
Hey, we're coming back to you, Billy.
I know you'd rather see me die than see me fly. I call all the shots, rip all the spots, rock all the rocks, chop all the drops. I know you take them down when all the ball stops. Nigga never home, gotta call me on the yacht. 10 years from now, we'll still be on top. Yo, I thought I told you that we won't stop. Now what you gonna do with a crew that got money much longer than yours? And a team much stronger than yours. Valet me, this is a BOJ. We don't play, mess around, be DOA. Be on your way, cause it ain't enough time here. Ain't enough lime here for you to shine here. Deal with many women, but treat down spit. And I'm bigger than the city lights down in Times Square. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exaggerate at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is just something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff say.
B-I-G-P-O-P-P-A, no info for the DEA. Federal agents mad cause I'm flagrant. Got the cell and the phone in the basement. My team's the queen, stay clean. Triple beam, miracle dream, I'll be that. Catch a seat at all events bent. Gats and holsters, girls on shoulder, play boy, I told ya, me and Mike to me, bruise too much, I lose too much, step on stage, the girls boo too much, I guess it's cause you run with lame dudes too much, me lose my track, back. If I did, ain't no problem to get the gas. Where the true players at? Throw your rollies in the sky, waving side to side.